Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Okay, thank you to Adams Road Band for that introductory music. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at Mormonism Research Ministry. In the Salt Lake Tribune in September of 2011, September 10th, on page B3, there was an article titled, BYU President Warns About the Perils of Perfectionism.
Here's what it says, Bill. Brigham Young University President Cecil O. Samuelson warned students this week to avoid the foolish personal mistake of perfectionism. Quote, it may be understandable to believe what behavioral scientists describe as perfectionism is laudable, he told about 10,000 students gathered Tuesday at the Marriott Center. In fact, he says, it is not. It is corrosive and destructive and is the antithesis of the healthy quest for eventual perfection that the Savior prescribes. Goes down later in the article, and it says, while Jesus Christ commanded his followers to be ye therefore perfect, Samuelson said, the original Greek text reflects that perfection means being whole or complete rather than flawless.
I'm actually glad that Samuelson took the time to actually see what the Greek has to say on this, because we've been saying it for years. But yet, how many times when we are talking with Latter-day Saints about the concept of grace, do they always tend to want to throw back Matthew 5:48? And we've talked about it before on this show, but I think we need to hit this again, because as Samuelson has correctly pointed out, Jesus was not at all implying that we need to be flawlessly or sinlessly perfect as our Father in heaven is sinlessly perfect. First of all, we can't even imagine the purity, the holiness, and the perfection of God himself. We are certainly flawed human beings. We are sinful creatures. We are innately sinful. We are saved, as we believe, only by the grace of God, that if it ever meant that we had to overcome our sins, as Spencer Kimball has said, and that is how we are going to achieve the best God has for us, then we are never going to be able to do it. But I find it interesting that this subject even needs to be addressed in the Mormon church, because in the Christian churches, where the emphasis is on a New Testament concept of grace, a Christian should understand that though we should strive to live holy lives and to live a life that gives honor to our Savior, that is not what is required of us in order to receive that justification that he promises.
Well, a couple of students said that they were glad that he addressed this issue. Leticia Morales, who's a sophomore there at BYU, said, perfectionism is one of those things we are struggling with. And then another person, Sharon Samuelson, reminded students that they got where they are today because a bridge is built by the actions of ancestors and others. The idea that Brigham Young University, so much work has gone into that school and this state, really. I mean, there's a lot of monument, I guess you would say, around this state from hard work of the people. They really are hardworking people.
And you're correct. And you know, we have never faulted the Mormon people for wanting to be hardworking, sincere people. And yet, how many times do we get letters or emails from Mormons saying, you're trying to make us out to be bad people? I don't know where they're getting this, because it certainly isn't on our website.
No.
We're not saying that. We have often commended the Mormon people for their very strong work ethic. And the only problem we have with it is, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? If they're doing it, as we've said before, to earn some kind of brownie points with Elohim, then certainly there's a problem there, because that's not what the New Testament concept of grace is all about. But we're not faulting them for wanting to be the best they can be. But getting back to this article, when you have Samuelson having to speak on this very subject, and he warns about the perils of it, why would he have to say it? Well, we know from talking with Latter-day Saints that this is often a subject that they seem to gravitate to. Whenever we talk about the concept of grace, they do what? They go exactly to Matthew 5:48. Thankfully, Mr. Samuelson has correctly interpreted what Jesus was not saying. He doesn't really explain what he is saying here, but he correctly tells us what he's not saying. But what do you do with all the statements from Mormon leaders of the past that certainly do imply explicitly that perfection is something that a Mormon must achieve?
Which is why I think so many people, and especially in the state we live here in Utah, Bill, so many people really know they don't do what they're supposed to do. How many times have you asked people, Bill, are you doing it? And they will always say, no, I'm not. And then there's always this idea that, well, maybe someday I'll attain this. And they know that they're not perfect, even though I think that's the idea they get from the leadership and from the meetings they attend.
When I ask Latter-day Saints, and I had two sister missionaries just yesterday come to my door, and they were talking about Jesus, and I said, well, tell me about your Jesus. And one sister missionary said, well, he's the Savior. And I said, well, is he your Savior? What do you have to do, in other words, to be saved? And of course, she told me that she had to repent of all her sins, and I says, well, what about commandment? Oh, yeah, you have to keep all the commandments. Are you doing that? And of course, neither of them were. So I asked them, well, then, is Jesus your Savior now? Right now?
Right, that's a good question.
Because if you have not done those things, and I explained to them, I says, this is what you said were the requirements, and now you've said you're not meeting those requirements, but if that's what you need to do in order for Jesus to be your Savior, then I can only assume he's not your Savior right now.
And that's the crux of the matter, isn't it, Bill?
It is. It is absolutely the heart of the matter. But what do we do with statements like from Spencer Kimball, especially his book, Miracle of Forgiveness, a book that has actually been suggested reading by Mormon leaders in General Conference? Even recently, this isn't something, you know, from years and years ago. This is something they still talk about. It's still one of the better sellers of Mormon books.
Where can you buy it, Bill?
Deseret Book sells it. I mean, it's a prominent book. You can go to the distribution center below the church administration building. There it is. Boy, I had a whole shelf one day that I was in there, a whole shelf of copies of The Miracle of Forgiveness. This book is horrendous when it comes to the subject of perfectionism. And I'm sure that Samuelson's read it. I can't imagine him not being aware. But let's look at just a couple or two or three statements that come from his book while we have time here.
All right, this first one is from pages 208 and 209 in The Miracle of Forgiveness, and it says this: this progress toward eternal life is a matter of achieving perfection. Living all the commandments guarantees total forgiveness of sins and assures one of exaltation through that perfection, which comes by complying with the formula the Lord gave us.
Of course, what's the formula?
Well, he says it right here. He says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Matthew 5:48, that you referred to earlier. Being perfect means to triumph over sin. This is a mandate from the Lord. He is just and wise and kind. He would never require anything from his children which was not for their benefit and which was not attainable. Perfection, therefore, is an achievable goal.
I so wish Kimball was alive today so I could go and ask him to his face, did you do that? Are you doing that right now? Are you really going to tell me that you have accomplished what you just wrote in your book? But look at what he says. And folks, if you're listening carefully, look at what Kimball says, a prophet of the Mormon Church, the 12th president of the Mormon Church, the prophet, seer, and revelator, as opposed to a BYU employee of the church, Samuelson. He says, being perfect means to triumph over sin. This is a mandate from the Lord. And what is he using to support that conclusion? The very same verse that Samuelson says, when you look at the original language, isn't really saying that at all. Here's what we have. We have the president of Brigham Young University actually disagreeing with the 12th president of the Mormon Church. Now, if you're a Latter-day Saint listening to this show, you have to ask yourself, which direction do you want to go? Naturally, what Samuelson is saying, we agree with Samuelson on this. I think that's what Matthew 5:48 is saying. But does Samuelson, when it comes to the authority of the priesthood, does Samuelson have the priesthood authority to correct a general authority?
I would think not.
You would be absolutely correct in thinking that, because they do not. Samuelson's priesthood authority does not go up. It goes down, but it does not go up. Kimball's authority would certainly go down. Now, it could be argued, well, Kimball's a dead prophet. Don't pit a dead prophet with a living prophet is what Ezra Taft Benson said. Do we even get to believe that, though, because he's even a dead prophet now? But I think most Mormons understand what the authority of the presidency is all about, and I have never heard a general authority come out and say that Kimball was wrong. In fact, they keep promoting his book, which makes me think they must agree with what he's saying. This is what Kimball also said. In the context of the spirit of forgiveness, one good brother asked me, yes, that is what ought to be done, but how do you do it? Doesn't that take a Superman? Yes, I said, but we are commanded to be supermen, said the Lord. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We are gods in embryo, and the Lord demands perfection of us. Miracle of Forgiveness, page 286.
And on Teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 26, he says, I would emphasize that the teachings of Christ, that we should become perfect, were not mere rhetoric. He meant literally that it is the right of mankind to become like the Father and like the Son, having overcome human weaknesses and developed attributes of divinity. Well, why are the students having a problem with perfection, Bill? After you read these statements, I think we can understand why.
If they're reading a lot of the books put out by LDS leaders, if they're listening to General Conference, this is where they get it. They get it from their own scriptures. How many times when I've quoted the Book of Mormon or even the Doctrine and Covenants, various verses out of those two books, I'll have a Mormon respond to me and say, are you saying I have to be perfect? I had a man just yesterday, a young man yesterday, called me on the phone. I had a talk with him, LDS man. And he said the very same thing. He said, are you saying we have to be perfect? I says, that's interesting you brought that up. I never said that. How'd you draw that conclusion? He obviously drew that conclusion based on what those verses are actually implying. They understand that. They can't escape it. It's in Mormon scripture. So again, when a BYU president has to warn about the perils of perfectionism, you have to ask yourself, why does this subject even need to be addressed? Quite simply, it's because that's what Mormon leaders have taught.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.